treat this great story in John chapter 1. Let's start in verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told them, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. And Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still sitting under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than that." And then he added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." My daughter, when she was back in college years ago, had a roommate that she found kind of annoying, because every time she would say something to her, after this sort of long pause, she would tune in and go, "Wait, what?" Well, sometimes I read a passage like this or a short story, and then I go, "Wait, what?" I mean, there's so many interesting things here. It seems like we're only getting part of the story, though. It seems a little bit confusing. And at first glance, there's a lot of questions in just this little story. But digging deeper, this story is encouraging to any of us who might be struggling with a trial, a hard trial. Now, I can see you looking at me going, "Wait, what? You got that out of this story?" Well, let's spend a little time in this story. Let's explore it. I mean, the first thing, it's interesting that Nathanael says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" You know, Nazareth was just this little, tiny, small town village. There was probably between 30 and 40 families there. It was 20 miles from the Sea of Galilee, and it really was just a little backward town. There wasn't much to it. And his response was probably not really saying, "Well, that's a really rough town, some really bad characters come out of there." But more likely, it could have been like a regional prejudice. I mean, something like the people from Boston don't like the people from New York, and the people from New York don't like the people from Boston. But it could also be that no Old Testament prophecy says anything about the Messiah coming from Nazareth. And it seems like Nathanael had an understanding of some of the things of the Bible. But reading this story, several questions come to mind. How did Jesus see Nathanael under the fig tree? I mean, was he spying on him? Did he have like binoculars or a telescope or something? And what is meant by Jesus saying, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit"? And why did Nathanael have such a strong reaction to what Jesus said? I mean, it appears that something happened under this tree, but what? And why did it make such a drastic change in Nathanael? Well, one thing I think many people misunderstand about Jesus is that he was not omniscient or all-knowing. He gave up many of the godly qualities when he became a man. He wasn't omnipotent, having all power. He wasn't omnipresent. He couldn't be everywhere at once. He was before he became a man, but he gave all those powers up to become a man, a physical human. So he did not physically see Nathanael under the tree. I mean, he obviously was being led by the Holy Spirit. I mean, this is an example of what we can do when we are led by the Holy Spirit. He was not saying that he saw everything about Nathanael, but Jesus probably had a vision, or he might have had a dream, something that was beyond human ability. Well, Nathanael's reaction was because he knew something happened under that tree that only God would see and understand. And there's some clear hints on really what might have happened under that tree and what impacted Nathanael so strongly. Verse 50, it says, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the tree," this is Jesus talking, "you will see greater things than that." And he added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Is that all it took to convince you? I mean, Jesus is basically saying, you know, you really haven't seen anything yet. "You will see heaven open." Very truly, it means amen. It means absolutely true. Very truly true. Verily, verily. He's really emphasizing the point that what he's going to see, this heaven open, is going to happen. The "you" in verse 50 is singular. So he's telling Nathanael, is that all it took to convince you? And then the "you" in verse 51 is plural. He's telling all of the disciples, "You will see heaven open." Well, think about it. Of all the things that Jesus could bring up that Nathanael was going to see, why did he bring this up? I mean, why didn't he think about it? Why didn't he bring up, "You're going to see me walking on water. You're going to see a calming of a storm. You're going to see demons being cast out. You're going to see the Holy Spirit come on the day of Pentecost." Why did he use this example? I mean, it seems kind of random. But we will see just how intentional Jesus was when he said it. So I just got a new Bible, and it's a reference Bible. And if you look at the reference in the margin here, it's Genesis chapter 28. So let's turn there. Because you see, Jesus was referring to a very specific event. And it's Jacob's ladder dream. In Genesis 28, verse 10, it says, "Jacob left Beersheba and went out to Haran. And when he reached a certain spot, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. And taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head. And he laid down to sleep." We're talking about Jacob here. "And he had a dream in which he saw a ladder or a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to the heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, 'I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants of the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, all with you, and will watch over you. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." So the ladder in some versions here is probably more accurately a stairway. It's an ascent with steps from lower to higher, higher to lower. Jacob saw these angels going up and down, and he wasn't describing just a one-time event. It was really a constant moving. There are angels going up, angels going down. This was his dream. But what are angels? They're messengers. This vision Jacob saw represented something that had not happened yet. It represented communication, free-flowing communication between God and people. Free and open access to heaven, this two-way communication. And God was saying that he will stay with us until the promise of the Bible come to pass. I mean, Jesus uses this example, "You will see," it in sort of a future tense. He is telling Nathanael he will see it not just like a vision like Jacob had it, but he will see it for real. And at that point, heaven really had been closed because of the Jewish people not being obedient to God. They were, in a sense, 6 centuries under foreign power. Well, Jesus is the Messiah who, in a sense, reopened that communication line. I mean, spiritually, it's kind of like having unanswered prayers or feeling like God is not there when you're praying or talking to him. But Jesus is telling Nathanael he was going to see this open communication between God and people. Verse 49 of John chapter 1. Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you, I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." And then he added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." I mean, Nathanael called Jesus the Son of God. And Jesus here called himself the Son of Man. Well, that's really referring to the same person. Jesus is God, but he is also man. He is the mediator, in a sense, representing both sides, God and man. And on the cross, he was representing God and man. I gave a sermon once on the covenant and covenant symbols. And when he was on the cross, that was sort of a symbol of him being the mediator. So Jesus is telling them they are going to see the stairway, which in a sense is the Son of Man. Through Jesus, heaven and communication to God the Father was going to open up. That was the promise to the Jewish people. And then that was the promise to everyone long ago, but at that point, it had not happened yet. So again, why is Jesus referring to Jacob's dream in this situation of calling Nathanael? Well, John 14, verse 6 says, "No one can come to the Father except through Jesus Christ." And he was telling Nathanael and the other disciples, he is the one who is going to fulfill Jacob's dream. So then, in verse 47, again of John 1, when he saw Nathanael approaching him, he said, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And Nathanael says, "Well, how do you know me?" And Jesus says, "Well, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Well, what was going on under this fig tree? And why did it have such a powerful impact on Nathanael? "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." That was his reaction after Jesus just said he saw him. Well, verse 47 is the only time that Jesus uses the word Israelite in the Bible. He's very specific with his language here. He was calling Nathanael a descendant of Israel. Well, who is Israel? Jacob. And this is where there's this incredibly interesting connection here. The word that Jesus used, Israelite, is used less than 10 times in the New Testament, compared to Jews, which is used over 220 times. But Jesus used this word only once. I mean, again, this is telling us that Jesus is using this word on purpose to get a very specific point across. So let's go back to Genesis 32. How did Israel get his name? In Genesis 32, let's start in verse 22. "That night Jacob got up and took his two wives and his two female servants and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak." And when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. And the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And the man asked, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. And the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." And Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." And the sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because of the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. So the Bible at first, the story says that Jacob wrestled with a man, but Jacob said he saw God face to face. It's interesting in the book of John, if you just go back a few verses to 18, it says no one has ever seen God the Father except for Jesus Christ. And really, from this, all that you can sort of deduct that all the references in the Old Testament of people seeing God, Moses, Jacob, some think that the angel that was in front of Joshua, wasn't God the Father, but it was the person who became Jesus Christ. And this shows us that Jacob was wrestling with God, who was Jesus. Jacob was blessed, and he got his name with this encounter from Jesus before he became a human being. So Jesus' reference to Nathanael as being an Israelite is saying that Nathanael is a man that is like Jacob or like Israel. And so what was happening there? A man who was wrestling with God. A man that is persistent, who wants to see the promises of God come to pass, who wants to see the blessings of God in his life. Under that tree, Nathanael was probably wrestling with God about a major problem that was happening in his life. You think about it, Nathanael was probably crying out to God, when are you going to move in my life? When are you going to keep the promises that are in the Bible? When am I going to be blessed? Do you even see me? And Jesus said, "I saw you." Whatever he was wrestling with, it must have been overwhelming in his life. I mean, it made Nathanael instantly understand that Jesus was the Son of God, the King of Israel. Jesus said, "You truly are an Israelite." I mean, other translations say, "an Israelite indeed." I mean, there's an emphasis there. Basically say, like father, like son. You are like your father. You are your father's son. You have the characteristics of your father. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." In whom there is no deceit. Why did he bring that up? Well, think about Jacob and Jacob's character for a second. Jacob was known as a deceiver. Turn to Genesis 25 and see from the day he was born, Genesis 25, verse 24, when the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first came out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment, so they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel, so they named him Jacob. His hand was holding his heel. Jacob means one who holds a heel, or it also means he cheated. I mean, Jacob was an opportunist. That's a nice way of saying he was kind of a scoundrel, right? Esau, give me some stew, I'm starving. You know what? Jacob could have just given him some stew. But what did he do? He saw an opportunity and he took advantage of it because his brother had something that he wanted, the blessing of Abraham. Well, Esau thought so little of it, he gave it up for some lentils. But think, this isn't the only time. Think of Jacob when he was with Laban, his uncle, and the story of the sheep and what he did to make sure that he got all the best sheep instead of Laban. I mean, he was kind of a businessman. Even though he had God's blessing, there's a lot of things that he did that were sort of questionable. I mean, Isaac wanted to pass his blessing on to his son, his oldest son, Esau. Genesis 27, verse 35, but he said, your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing. And Esau said, isn't he rightly named Jacob, cheater? This is the second time he has taken advantage of me. He took my birthright, and now he's taken my blessing. Then he asked him, his father, haven't you reserved any blessing for me? I mean, Jacob deceived Isaac to get the blessing. What Jesus is saying to Nathanael, you are certainly a descendant of Israel because you are wrestling with God, because you want the blessing, but you do not deceive. You do not try to get it done man's way. You're not trying to take things into your own hand. I mean, think about the compliment that Jesus is giving Nathanael here. And Nathanael's response, calling him the King of Israel, is really telling Jesus that he recognized him as somebody higher than Jacob, somebody higher than Israel. Romans 5, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. I mean, Nathanael was wrestling with God about something, but he was remaining faithful. I mean, who here is wrestling with God about something? I mean, this is showing us that no matter what we're going through, remain faithful. Even though we might not see the promise immediately, don't compromise. Don't deceive to get something that you want. Don't take things into your own hand. Are there promises left unfulfilled in life? Wrestle with God. Don't let go until you get the blessing. That's what this story is telling us. I mean, what means are we pursuing the promises of God? By wrestling with God in prayer, or by deceiving and lying and cheating? You know, years ago, I worked for a large corporation that was going through some major changes. And people were lying and cheating and doing all they could to survive by putting others down, thinking that they want to survive whatever cuts were going to happen in this corporation. But I remember this one director who just would not participate in the fray. There was no lying with him. There was no deceit. He was very ethical in everything he did in this horrible environment that was happening in this corporation. And whether he knew it or not, and I think he knew it, he was doing it God's way. And you know what? He received a blessing, I think, because of it. Because now he's working for another organization that is the perfect fit for him and who he was. I mean, Jesus is telling Nathanael and showing us, do it God's way, to have the blessing that awaits us. Do it God's way. Nathanael was blessed by being called to be one of the 12 disciples. I mean, what a blessing that was. God wants to move in our lives, but we have to do it not in the flesh. We have to stay totally ethical in what we do. I mean, Jesus told us we can do nothing without him. If we look to him, He is the stairway. Heaven is open. Communication is flowing. God has promises. God has a purpose for our lives. And He will not leave us until the promises come to pass. That's what this story is showing us. What a powerful story. If you're struggling with something, respond to it God's way. The blessing awaits. And whatever you're going through, God knows. He sees you.